want to elaborate a little before we get into the message. I think we're going to have a good time. Got a little nervous today. I got called into heaven. I call dialysis heaven. Got called in a little early today. But I've never preached on a Wednesday going through a full treatment because it wears on you, man. It wears on you. So I did a full treatment, basically a full treatment today, and I've never preached on a Wednesday doing a full treatment. My wife called me about 10 o'clock, said they want to take you in early today to give you a full treatment because I told her Monday I might have to leave early Wednesday because I got church. And they don't like letting you go early, but they're real good people. So they finagled. They thought they were doing me a favor. So they brought me in early today, and I finished the whole treatment. And I said, oh, God. But then I felt the Holy Ghost said, you need to go, because they went out of their way to make sure you got your full treatment. So I went. I got a little nervous. My wife called me and said, oh, baby, you know, I'm tired on Wednesdays when I go up to that pulpit. You know, I am. You're starving and you're tired. You're not in pain, but you're just tired. And then I thought about Pastor Dave. I used to hear him say, and it just inspires me. It inspired and inspires me. He said, in all these years, I've never missed one church service for being sick. That just hit the spot. That's been working on me for like a week or two. I don't know what happened towards the end of his life. I don't know. All I know is he said, I never missed church because I was sick. Can the modern day church learn from that statement? Can they? Yeah. A common headache now will keep a saint at home. True or false? Common headache. So I said, when my wife called me, you're going to go in early, I began to say, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not grow weary. They shall walk and shall not faint. I kept confessing that before the treatment. Then I called. I had my wife call Miss Barbara and a friend in Texas. I said, pray. I'm okay. Just pray that God strengthen me because I need his grace. I've never done a full treatment and taught after the treatment. So, but what I'm feeling now is just God's grace is incredible. I'm usually, when I get home, I'll say this. You're foggy in your mind. I stutter a lot. I mean, a lot. I just go to sleep because I don't make any sense. It's by God's grace that I'm able to teach on Wednesdays in the past. I did have to cut that is just short, but the day I didn't cut it short. But it's just incredible. You have to know, you have to be inside of me to know what dialysis does to you. For me to say what I'm saying is just, to me, it's a miracle in itself that God's grace is just so strong in my life. Not because I'm anything special, because I'm falling in love with Jesus. It's the only reason. So I believe we're going to have a good time tonight. I hear Pastor Dave's words all the time. You know, in this goofy way. Homer, you know, I never miss church because of sickness. Sorry, Pastor Dave, I flunked that one a whole bunch of times. Praying in the Spirit, it'll get you tough. Worshiping Jesus will get you sensitive. He is incredible. We're going to have a good time tonight. Whether it's 5, 10, 12, none, 1, we're going to have a good time in the Word. I promise you. If you have ears to hear, you will be blessed. We're going to call this message tonight the Gospel of the Kingdom. In parentheses, Jesus is a detriment. You heard that right. The Gospel of the Kingdom, in parentheses, Jesus is a detriment. Just got this message this morning. I was in prayer this morning. And I'll say this. You can be turning to Luke chapter 9. I'm pacing myself to make sure I feel His grace. I feel real strong. Real hungry, but I'm strong. I feel real. I don't feel the crazy feeling in my mind. I'm not stuttering, and I'm not going to either. You got to believe His word or don't believe it. Either His grace is my sufficiency or it isn't. Either I put those words in my mouth or I just shut up. I just put kingdom words in my mouth and I live by those words. Amen. So I think about this. The highlight really of my life now more than ever is to get up and just be with Him. Just to be with Jesus. I don't wake up to meet a quota of hours. Never. I've never heard Him tell me pray this many hours a day. But if I did have a quota, through grace and through sonship, I can say this with an honest, meek heart. If I did have a quota, I got to pray 2 or 3 hours a day. I feel that's what God's calling me. He's never called me to pray a certain amount of hours a day. But if I did have a quota in sonship and in grace, I would easily exceed that quota because I pray as a son and under grace. And it's easy to give my day to Him. It's not even an effort because I pray in sonship and in grace. Are you with me? It's easy to serve Him. People say this walk is hard. What walk? The gospel's not hard. 1 John 5 says, His commandments are not grievous. They're not a burden. They're a burden to a person that's not pressing into the kingdom. That's when this book is a burden to you. That's when lifting up your hands and worshiping Jesus is a burden and an emotional fight for you because you're not pressing into the kingdom. Amen? So I'll say this to establish a point. I'm going to quote a scripture out of Galatians chapter 5, verse 16. Just one scripture. I don't usually like quoting one scripture and expound on it, but this is going to be a starting point. Galatians 5, chapter 5, verse 16. Slow down, Omar. I say then, walk in the Spirit. Help me out. And you what? And you shall not. Come on, don't be scared. Fulfill lust of the flesh. I say then, walk in the Spirit. Now this is to help you, man. We often need help in this church and a hunger and a thirst for righteousness or else we wouldn't have sitting room only. But that's okay. Because the hungry will press in. With one or with ten. The hungry press in. And a person that's hungry gives his life to the gospel, man or woman. So the Apostle Paul said in Galatians 5, verse 16, I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. That word not in the Greek is an interesting word. Walk in the Spirit, quote unquote. Walk according to Christ in you. Walk according to the new nature. Live according to God in you, to Christ in you, and you will not. Listen to what he said. People wake up in the morning, I just want to serve God. I don't want to make it up to heaven, Brother Homer. I just don't want to sin. You are so backwards. It says, walk in the Spirit and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. If you wake up to not walk in the flesh first, you're backwards because the flesh never tells the flesh not to sin. That commandment comes from your spirit. Your spirit tells you, don't let your flesh take you over. I'm going to wake up not to sin. You're not obeying the gospel and you're probably an emotional person. I got to do this so I won't go to hell. Come on, man. We're better than that. wake up not to go to hell. We wake up to be with him. We wake up to lift up our hands and worship the King. He said, walk in the Spirit at a newness of life. He said, and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. That word not in the Greek is a word oume. O-U-M-E. One word, oume. It means this. It's a double negative. It's what the strong says. The Thayer's lexicon says, not at all. Walk in the Spirit, and you shall oume the lust of the flesh. You will not. A double negative. You cannot walk according to newness of life and fulfill the lust of the flesh. It's impossible. Don't wake up in the morning not to sin. Wake up in the morning with your hands lifted up and worship the King. Quit being so sin conscious. I got to do this or I'm going to go to hell. You're backwards, man. You're backwards. Paul said, I say then, walk in the Spirit and you shall not, double negative, you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Can you say amen? Now you can take this walk in the Spirit as, well, I'm born again, I'm not going to fulfill the lust of the flesh. Okay, well, you try being born again and not spending time with Jesus and see how long that lasts. Let's do some addition to the word walk in the Spirit. Let's add fasting. Let's add worship. Worship is a privilege and an honor. To me, it's not a limb. It's honor to worship God. You confess God's word. You read his word. You fast. You pray in the Spirit. And what starts my day, I just wake up and worship him. No music, no nothing. Personal opinion. If you worship with music, you're going to get used to an emotion. You're going to get used to an emotion. And you might change it. I'm giving you an opinion. If you worship with music, you're going to get used to a third party. You're going to get used to the emotion. So then, when the song's over, you're still the same way that you were before the song started. So I don't use word, me. I don't use worship at all in my quiet time because I get used to worshiping him when I feel like it and when I don't. It's easy to worship when you got an additive in the prayer closet. When you have worship playing. Me, when emotions come to me that you're never going to see again, that your kidneys are not going to get better again, it doesn't faze me because I don't need to feel like I'm being healed to be healed and to worship God because my worship with him is not based on a song. That is a personal opinion. You don't have to agree with me. I don't care if you do or not. I know what works for me. I should be in flat out turmoil right now with a state that this physical body is in. But it don't faze me because inward, where Christ lives, there's peace inside of me. My body's just not catching up to an extent with Christ inside of me. And I give it all to Jesus in worship. So when I say walk in the Spirit and you shall not, double negative, you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Ume, you shall not. There's no way in the world that you can walk in the Spirit and give yourself to the flesh. If there is, then you are making the Holy Ghost and Almighty God a liar. So saying that, I say this, don't wake up in the morning not to sin. You're sanctified in spirit, man. This walk with Christ is about, I got to make sure I go to heaven. Come on, man. 3-year-olds believe that. 3-year-olds. Grandpa, I want to go to heaven. Come on, man. We're here to lay down our life, man. You walk in the Spirit and you shall not. Not. Double negative. Greek word, oume. O-U-M-E. Pronounced oume. You shall not at all fulfill the lust of the flesh. Amen? So I say that to say this. Mark chapter 9. Starting in verse 23. Familiar portion of Scripture, which we quote often. The church quotes often, but I don't think we keep it in its entire context. Everybody knows this verse. Everybody quotes it. What Jesus say? If anyone would follow me, let him what? Deny himself. Take up his cross. When? Daily. If anyone would follow him, come after me, let him take up his cross. Let him deny himself, take up his cross daily and follow me. For whosoever shall save his life shall what? Lose it. And whosoever shall lose his life for my sake shall find it. That word deny. If anyone would come after me, listen to me carefully. Let him deny himself and take up his cross daily. He didn't say once a week. Take up your cross daily and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. But if Homer, Carl, Rex, Marsha, if they lose their life for my sake, they will find it. That word deny in the Greek means disown. Disown yourself. Let me tell you something. When you wake up in the morning and you give yourself to him, where you wake up for no other reason but just to be with him, that is a detriment to you. Can you elaborate? Yes, I can elaborate. When I wake up to be with him, just me and him in that bedroom, giving praise out of my heart, thanking him for his blood, for his mercy. When I'm there while worshiping, I'll transition into tongues, and then I'll go into the word and then into confession, and I'm just there. How long? It's not even important. I just know that I'm with him, and it's awesome. And I know that that moment with him, I usually wake up real early, extremely early. I know that moment when I wake up and worship Jesus, that moment is a detriment to me. You think you know where I'm going with this? It's a detriment to my mortal body. It's a detriment to my flesh. It's a detriment to emotions. It's a detriment to the love of money. It's a detriment to wanting a bigger house. It's a detriment to feeling sorry for myself. It's a detriment to wanting a bigger car. It's a detriment to self-pity. It's a detriment to anxiety. It's a detriment to my own personal will. I want him to be a detriment to me. I want him to completely eradicate my will. And it is working. I look forward to waking up early in the morning and being with Jesus, because he is a detriment to me. A detriment to my will. A detriment, for then any little thing bother me. I'm going to judge myself. I'm going to put myself on the platform. It's a detriment to me not loving my wife as Christ loved the church and gave himself for her. It's a detriment for the wife that's not a housekeeper. It's a detriment for a man that is inconsistent in his walk with Christ. It's a detriment, again, my personal conviction, to self-pity, to a common headache. It's a detriment to a common cold keeping you out of church. It's a detriment to that. It's a detriment that you'll never see again. I don't care. I don't try to confess God's word. I'm so in love with him that I don't try to say, I'll see again, or my kidneys are fine. I just say it out of spiritual instinct now. It just comes out of me. Because if I am a son of the kingdom, I better speak kingdom. And even when my emotions tell me different. Because I've learned that Christ in me is a detriment to my emotions. Are you with me? Christ Jesus is a detriment to me as far as unbelief goes. I like him being a detriment to me. Therefore, I can't wait to get up in the morning. I'm going to go and eat like a pig when I get home because I'm hungry. But I can't wait to get up in the morning and just to be with him. I don't pray to get healed. I don't pray for blessings. I just know that in that time of prayer with him, in that time of intimate worship, he hears me. And his peace, his tranquility, it fills my room. I don't have to beg him to hear me, heal me. I just lift up my hand and thank him for healing me. I say stupid things like, I thank you. It's stupid to the natural mind. I say, I thank you, Lord, that my eyes will never grow dim again. I thank you, Lord, that my kidneys, they filtrate 100%. I thank you, Lord Jesus, that I can do 7 miles in 1 hour like I used to. I thank you, Lord Jesus, that I weigh 185 pounds. I can preach the gospel for hours presenting the gospel of the kingdom. I thank you, Lord. I thank you that I'm off of medicine. I worship you. I thank you that I'm off of dialysis, Father. He is a detriment for everything inside of us that is a contradiction to the kingdom. Are you with me? Don't you want to be that kind of detriment to you where a common cold won't keep you out of his presence? If the common cold keeps you out of your prayer time, you're going to live a very inconsistent life in Christ. A very inconsistent life in Christ. A compassion went out to 11 boys on a field that lost the game. They were on the field crying. I knew at that moment that Christ Jesus, through fasting, through prayer, through spending, through the awesome honor of worship, had truly become a detriment to my will and to my mortal body. I knew that day something powerful. I knew prior to that day that he was working in me, but I knew that day, being the football fan that I was, something was happening in my life. Christ Jesus is a detriment to us if we give him the time of day in sonship and in grace. You'll far surpass any goal that you might. Okay, and I'm not saying it's wrong. If you want to pray an hour a day, that's fine. I'm giving you my personal conviction. Mine. Your conviction doesn't have to be mine. As long as morals are the same, it better be the same. But prayer time, etc., fasting, you do what the Holy Ghost has you do. He has never told me pray 3 hours a day, 4 hours, never, never, never. But I say this, through grace and through sonship, I far exceed any time that he might give me. Why? Because I am in love with him. And he is becoming a detriment to my will and to my mortal body. Are you with me? So I knew that day something happened when my heart went out, those 11 boys that lost that game. Saying that, I say this. Let Jesus be a detriment to you, man. Paul said, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not. Ume the lust of the flesh. You shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. A double negative. The Therese lexicon says, you by no means shall fulfill the lust of the flesh. Either the word of God is right or it's wrong. I say it's right. Amen. So we quote this verse often in Luke chapter 9, verse 23 and 24. Jesus says, if anyone would come after me, let him disown. Disown is what the Greek says. Actually, let him disown himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. Whosoever will save his life shall what? Lose it. Now the word lose is a strong word. But whosoever will lose his life for my sake, he shall find it. Now, we quote them verses often. But we never, ever quote them verses with what's in front of that verse. Never. If anyone would come after me, let him or her disown themselves or deny themselves. Let them take up their cross daily and follow me. For if Gabriel Mundan or Marty or Rex, they desire to save their life, they're going to lose it. But if Carl and Harry desires to lose their life for my sake, they're going to find it. So we have to define. We have to look in that portion of Scripture and see exactly what Jesus was talking about. When he said, let him disown. That is a strong word, man. To disown yourself. But you don't have to look too far down prior to that verse. In verse 20, remember what we're looking to establish is, how do we disown ourselves? Easy. Listen to what Jesus said. Whom do ye say that I am? Listen carefully now. We're talking about, I don't think the church really has an idea of what it means to disown yourself and to walk in greater love. We're called to walk in a great, not love, but a greater love. He said, if anyone would come after me, let him disown himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. For if Carl would save his life, he's going to lose it. But if Ms. Gay would lose her life, she's going to find it. So let's establish through the teachings of Luke in Luke 9 what it means to disown yourself. We quote Luke 9, 23 and 24 often, but we never quote Luke 21 or 20 through 22, 20, 21 and 22. Jesus said, well, whom do ye say that I am? What's Simon Peter say? You are the what? The Christ of God. Jesus responds back. He straightly charged them and commanded them that they should tell no man that thing. Who say ye that I am? You are the Christ of God. You are the Messiah. And he straightly, Jesus, talking to Simon Peter, and he straightly charged them, he's addressing Simon Peter, he straightly charged them and commanded them, saying, tell no man that thing. Listen, for the Son of Man must suffer, be rejected of the elders, chief priests, and scribes. Listen, and be slain and be raised the third day. I don't think we have a comprehension of what it means to disown yourself. Jesus, prior to 23 and 24, told us what disowning himself meant to him. See, they didn't kill Jesus. They didn't come grab him by force. He offered his body as a sacrifice. That's the kind of disowning that he wants from us. He said, I'm going to be slain. I'm going to raise again. I'm going to rise again the third day. Homer, Gay, Rosie, Harry, you say you want revival. You say you want to see the fullness of the kingdom. I don't think we know what it costs us. I don't think we really realize. He said, if you come after me, let him who comes after me, let him disown himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For Carl, Ellie, Marty, if you save your life, you're going to lose it, man. But Ms. Gay, if you lose your life, you're going to find it. Well, how do I disown myself, Lord? How do I lose my life to find it? Whom say ye that I am? The Christ of God. And he straightly charged them and commanded them, saying, tell no man that thing. For the Son of Man will suffer and be rejected by the elders, chief priests, and scribes, and be slain and be raised again on the third day. I don't think we know what he's asking of me and you to see the fullness of the kingdom. Either you're quiet because you're bored or it's hidden a spot. There is no such thing as a mediocre disciple. Listen to me. I do not want to be a good little Christian. I do not. I'd rather die and go to heaven. I'm going to be here just a good little You know, good Christians can be tormented in their mind. A good Christian can walk in self-pity. A good Christian can let a hangnail affect him. A good Christian can be rude. But a disciple, a disciplined follower, cannot. Why? Because Jesus Christ has become a detriment to his will. Are you with me? I want him to be a detriment to me more and more. When I wake up this morning, I want him again and again to definitely just mortify my will in his presence. There is a cause, man. There is a cause. Good Christians can be very inconsistent. They can be an emotional mess. They can be offended. A disciple can't. That disciple, by his times with Jesus, has allowed the presence of God to be a detriment to his will. That's what I want, man. Let him be a detriment to your emotions. Disown yourself. How? Well, I'm going to show you how I did it, Jesus says. This is how you disown yourself, Homer. First, in your prayer closet, you allow me to be a detriment to your will, Homer. Let me take away those things out of your life. Sit in my presence. Let my tranquility rule your spirit. Let my Holy Spirit work on you. Let him pray the perfect will of God inside you. Let fasting take its course. Listen to me. Some of you might agree with me on this, and you might not. I don't fast. People say, well, I got to mortify this. I got to mortify that. I got to pray in tongues to do this and that. I don't magnify my struggles. I won't even repeat them. I just fast and whatever happens, happens. I just pray in the Spirit and what I need, the Holy Ghost delivers. I don't focus on what I'm not doing right. I let fasting, the Word of God, worship, and the Holy Ghost take care of that. I'm not a sin conscious person, man. I spend time. You know why I fast? Because Matthew 6 says, when you give alms, when you fast, and when you pray, I want him, his presence, his spirit to be a detriment to my will. So I live a lifestyle. I can say it proudly and boldly and in truth. I live a lifestyle of fasting. I will say this to benefit you. I probably fast more than now than what I eat. And it is awesome because it brings a peace to me that I did not know existed. And I love it. It's bringing a compassion inside of me that I did not know existed. And I love it. He has become a complete detriment to my will. And I love it. I pray now more than I ever have because I am in love with him. I don't pray to meet a quota. I pray as a son of God. I don't pray to be healed. But I know that I'm already healed because I feel it inside my spirit. Are you with me? When I fast, whatever needs to be done in me, let it be done. When I pray in the Spirit, whatever needs to be done, let it be done. Psalm 139, I believe, says, Search me, O God. This is what I say. I'm almost done. Search me, O God. The last part of 139. Search me, O God, and know my heart. When I give myself to the Holy Ghost, I say, Holy Ghost, for these next moments I'm going to be here just praying in the Spirit. I say, Lord, the Holy Spirit is in me, praying for me and through me. Holy Spirit, sir. Sir, Holy Spirit, search my heart. Search me, O God. Search my heart. Try me. Try my thoughts to see if any wickedness abides in me. Lead me in the way everlasting. Do in me what needs to be done. I do not magnify what I'm not doing right. I get in now. If I do wrong, I repent. Wash me with your blood, Jesus. But I do not magnify it. I won't even talk about it. It's not promiscuous grace. It's not hyper grace. It's I don't magnify sin. The Bible says to reckon yourself dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto Jesus Christ, my Lord. I'm not going to magnify my shortcomings. But I will say this, it's been a detriment to those shortcomings. Because they're vanishing away. Am I completely perfected? No, I never will be to the day I die. But I know he's working in me. That's all I know. And I can't wait. Spend time with him again in the morning. See, it's becoming a detriment to my will. He's punishing my will.
Time here.
Okay, yeah. So I got to take these guys real quick. Are you with me? Are you getting something out of this? All right. Let him disown himself. First step to disowning yourself. You just can't wake up and say, okay, that's it. I'm in all the way. No. It's a process. But it starts in prayer. It starts in prayer. Yes, Lord. Romans chapter 12. You don't have to turn there. Are you with me? Have I established more or less what Jesus was disowned? They didn't take his life, man. He gave it. Are you willing to give your life for the gospel? Are you willing to sit inside that prayer closet and allow him to be a detriment to your will? Are you with me? Listen to this. This is how we live. This is what we walk in. These are the things that are pleasing in his sight. Listen to me. Romans 12. Let love be without what? Dissimulation. Or it could be said, let love be unfeigned. That word love is the word agape. Let love be unfeigned. I'm going to give you an opinion now. An opinion. The way I see that portion of scripture, said, let love be unfeigned. How many know the love of God, the true love of God, it is unfeigned means genuine. The love of God is unfeigned. The love of God is in us, so we got to make sure it's what? Unfeigned. So the way I see this portion of scripture, he says, let love be without dissimulation. Let love be unfeigned, i.e., explanatory. Let love be unfeigned. Let love be without dissimulation. I.e., explanatory. Abhor that which is what? Evil. Cleave. This is how we live. These are the things that are pleasing in his sight. We don't own ourselves, man. He redeemed us with his blood. He purchased our body and our spirit. We belong to, he ransomed us with purity, with blood. This is our platform, if I may say. So let love be called without dissimulation. Harry, hate that. Abhor that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good. Listen to this. Be kindly affectionate one to another with brotherly love and honor. In honor, preferring one another. You with me? In honor. Preferring one another. Not slothful in business. Fervent in spirit. Serving the Lord. This is what we walk in, Carl. Rejoicing in hope. Patient in tribulation. Continuing instant in prayer. Continuing instant in prayer. Continuing instant in prayer. Distributing to the necessity of saints. Given to hospitality. Given to hospitality. Distributing to the necessity of saints. Bless them that curse you. Bless and curse not. What's that? Yes, sir. I'm winding it down. Be of the same mind one towards another. Mind not high things, but condescend. Be humble to men of low estate. Homer, do not be wise in thine own eyes. Don't be wise in your own conceit. Don't do it, Homer. Recompense, Homer. No man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. Homer, if it be possible, as much as lieth in you, if contingent, if continual clause, if it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceable with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourself, but rather give place, for vengeance is mine, says the Lord. If your enemy what? Hunger? Feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Listen to this. Do not be overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. That is our spiritual platform. Those are the things that we do that are pleasing in his sight. Can you say amen? Jesus Christ, let him be a detriment to your will. Walk in the things that please him. Speak evil of no man, Titus 3. Let love be unfeigned. Hate that which is evil. Don't say hate people. Say hate that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good. Condescend to men of low estate. Recompense no man evil for evil. Are you with me? We've been purchased by his blood. Wake up in the morning to be with him. Don't wake up in the morning not to sin. Wake up to be with him. Out of your spirit, give him praise, man. Are you with me? Let me close with this. I quote Romans 12, but that's our platform. If I may, that's how we live. Let me close with this. Christ Jesus, let him be a detriment to emotions, to self-pity. When I first got on dialysis, I heard Pastor Bronk say this, and it really hit the spot. He said, don't believe the mirage. Don't believe the lie. The symptoms. They were writing me off for dead already in dialysis. Do you have a will, Mr. Betancourt? What do you do for depression? Do you want a kidney transplant? Who takes care of you? What do you do about depression? I'm not depressed, ma'am. You want a kidney transplant? No, ma'am. Why? Because my God is going to heal me. I see you're religious. No, ma'am, I'm not religious. I just believe in Jesus. I didn't say the right things just to say the right things. They just came out of my spirit because he has become a detriment to Homer's will. He's become a detriment to my own belief. Let me close with this. I'm going to prove to you out of Psalms 42 that he can be a detriment to emotions. Prove it to you. I'm not giving you one opinion tonight. Not one opinion. Other than a couple of opinions, not based on doctrine though. The psalmist said this. As with a sword in my bones. The last part of 42. With a sword in my bones. Listen. So my enemies reproach me daily saying, where is thy God? Does that sound familiar to you? As with a sword in my bones, my enemies reproach me daily saying, where is thy God? Does that not sound like your emotions? Where is God? You're supposed to be a daughter of God, a son of God. Where is he? Look, you're in torment right now. He says, as with a sword, we walk around with swords in our bones, not knowing the authority that we have in Christ Jesus. As with a sword in my bones, my enemies reproach me daily saying, where is thy God? The psalmist said, I have a dilemma. My enemies say to me, as with a sword in my bones, my enemy reproaches me daily saying, where is thy God? That is common in the body of Christ. Always we hear that voice from the accuser of the brethren day and night. Where is thy God? You're a child of God. Look at you, Homer. Look at you. You're pathetic. You can't see. You're going to die of kidney failure. Look at you. Where's your God at? Well, the psalmist said, it's a dilemma. He goes back and forth in Psalms 42. Back and forth. Worship, instability. Worship, instability. Worship, instability. Closing down with this. He said, with a sword in my bones, when you allow Satan to torment your mind, it's like having a sword in your bones. But the writer has a remedy for a sword being in your bones. A complete remedy for it. For the sword in my bones, so my enemies reproach me daily saying, where is thy God? The writer says, dilemma. I have an answer for that dilemma. He said, why, O my soul, art thou cast down? And why are you disquieted within me? My enemy, with the sword of my bones, he reproaches me daily, saying, he mocks me. Where is thy God? Like our flesh mocks us. It lies to us all the time. Satan, the accuser of the brethren, day and night, whispers lies to our mind. But the writer said, I can fix this sword in my bones. That sword won't be long in my bones for long, because I have the remedy. He says, why art thou cast down, O my soul? He asked himself a question, because the question, the problem lies within him. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? He's talking to himself. Why are you disquieted within me? He tells himself, after saying, there's a sword in my bones, man. My enemies reproach me daily, saying, where is thy God? Here, let me show you where my God is. Oh, my soul, why are you cast down? Why are you, the word disquieted in the Hebrew means, why are you filled with anxiety? Why? He says, why are you disquieted within me? Trust thou in God. Listen to what he says. For yet will I praise him who is the help of my countenance and my God. If there's a sword in your bones, if your emotions are your daddy, if anxiety and self-pity is your daddy, the psalmist gave us a remedy. He said, you're disquieted, you're in torment within yourself. No. He said, I got the remedy for you. Something that will be a detriment to that sword in your bones. Something that will be a detriment to that emotional battle. Something that will be a detriment to self-pity and anxiety. Something that will be a detriment to offense in your life. Hope thou in God. Well, how can I hope in God? But yet will I praise him. Help of my countenance and my God. He can't praise himself for you. You got to open up your mouth, man. Father, I bless you. I praise you. I'm a son of the kingdom, so I speak kingdom. I worship you. I'm more than a conqueror, Lord. I don't feel it, but it doesn't matter what I feel because your word is internal. I will not be in turmoil inside myself. You live inside me. I know how to worship. I'll get this anxiety off of me. I'll get this headache off of me. Your peace will reign in my heart, Lord, because I know how to praise you and I know how to worship you. Trust thou in God. Remedy to the dilemma. For yet will I praise him. If I praise him, I trust in him. If I trust in him, that sword won't be in my bones for very long. So if I praise him and I hope in him, the emotions won't kick my butt every single day of my life. So I praise him and hope in him because a detriment to my will becomes a detriment to my weakness and my feebleness. Why? Because I was spiritually proactive and I gave my God praise. Let him fix you. Let him eradicate your will. But you got to do something. You've got to do something. Take that sword, man, out of your bones. Hope thou in God. How? By praise and worship. And by fasting and prayer. Allow Almighty God to saturate your soul, your mind, and your being. Let me tell you something. I'm done. I have more peace now with issues in my body than I ever have in my life. And I love it. See, my spirit, man, I cry out. I know that I'm healed. I know I'm going to see again. I see now. I know my kidneys have 100% filtration. I know they do. And it's not a fabricated speech. It's what comes out of my spirit. And if he's working for me, he can work for you. You got to stop and decide. Tonight's the night where I enter in that closet in worship. Through prayer, Lord. Through spending time with you. I disown myself. I'm tired of the same thing beating me every single year. I'm tired of being the same emotional mess that I was last year. Lord, I want to hope in you. For yet will I praise you. I'm tired of my will being dogmatic towards me. Be a detriment, Lord, to my will. Through your grace. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Are the buckets in the back, Harry, Robert, whatever? Okay, hallelujah. Did you learn a little something? Hallelujah. Father, we bless you. Thank you for your grace, Lord. I can't thank you enough for your grace. This was a work of you, Lord. You strengthened me, Lord. You strengthened me through your grace. I love you, Lord Jesus. I love you, Lord Jesus. I thank you for your grace and for this gathering tonight. I pray that they take this message, Father, and find you like never before, Lord. Thank you and love you and praise you, Jesus. If you have something to give, offer buckets are in the front or the back, you said, Robert, Harry? They're in the back. Just drop something off in the back. Pastor Bronk will be here Sunday morning. He's been doing a great job teaching the book of James. I don't know if he's done or not, but we'll see you Sunday. Amen? God bless you.